We are in 40 days of prayer and emphasizing a specific personal miracle. And I've been praying that for you. I don't know what, you know, for most of you, what your thing is you're going after, but regularly I'm praying for whatever it is that God will give you the desires of your heart. And then I'm asking also that we keep praying for a church-wide refreshing until it comes. And as I've been mentioning in this series all along, as your flesh hates this series because the flesh doesn't like to pray, fast, persevere, any of that. Expect again as we jump in today that your flesh may be aggravated a little bit. But as we learn to crucify the flesh and yield to what the Holy Spirit wants, some amazing things can happen. In fact, I believe for most of us, probably there's very little that we would get more benefit from than more prayer individually and more prayer as a church family. I want to talk to you today on the theme recharge, reboot, and reset. Recharge, reboot, and reset. And I want to look at four similarities between smartphones and smart people. Most of us now have smartphones, and you know, they're wonderful in some respects, and yet every once in a while, not very often, but every once in a while, you know, I leave it in the office or leave it at home or whatever, and I'm in my car, and all of a sudden I realize, oh, I didn't bring my phone, and it's almost like, should I go back and get it, you know? And then I'm like, oh, I don't need that. I mean, if I can't get by without, you know, for a while, and I mean, you know, a couple decades ago, they weren't even around or however long ago it's been. So they can be a wonderful tool, and yet sometimes we can be overly dependent on them. But what I want to kind of give as an illustration, because I think because we use these so much, it'll really stick with you. I want you to think of your spirit and soul as having some similarities with your battery in your smartphone. And we're going to look at four of those comparisons. The first one is they need to be recharged regularly or they will quit working. You've probably all had the experience where you're using, haven't charged lately, forgot about it, and all of a sudden you really want your smartphone and realize, oh, the battery is dead. And at that point, no matter how badly you want to use it, you are not using it until you do at least some recharging. And I want to suggest to you that we are the same way, that we are wired by God to need regular recharges or we will quit working. And one of the things that I'm sure you've realized about your cell phone is the harder you work it, the more often it needs a recharge. The harder you work it, the longer it will take to recharge. And life is the same way, although it can be a little bit counterintuitive until we kind of make this comparison. But here's what I mean. The harder life is going for you, the more you're pushing it, the faster the pace, the more irons you have in the fire, the more stresses you're facing, the more often you're going to need a recharge. The longer it will take to recharge. Now, the reason that's difficult for us is because our mindset is, but wait a minute, I don't have time to recharge. I got too much going. I just can't take the time. But we need to realize if we don't take the time, sooner or later, we will quit functioning properly. I think it was Martin Luther who said, I have so much to do today, I can't possibly get it done unless I spend at least 2 hours in prayer. And that's not the way some of us think, but he recognized where his source came from to be productive, to be fruitful in life. Now, most of us probably charge our phones about once a day. Maybe you leave it in overnight, maybe however you do it. Maybe some of you, if you don't use it heavily, can get by more than a day. How many of you generally need to recharge more than once a day? Yeah, some of you, you know, either the battery's weak or you're just using it so heavily. And I want to liken that to where we're at in our spiritual life. The other thing I've done at times, I'm sure you have too, is maybe you charge it once a day, but you're going from point A to B and you're like, while I'm traveling, I may as well plug it in, you know, so it gets a little bit of a charge. It won't fully recharge, but it'll kind of, you know, hold it a little bit and it'll help me get just a little more out of it. And I liken that to what I shared a week or two ago on how when we spend a focused time with God, that's the most efficient prayer, the most efficient recharge. Yet there's also benefit to pray without ceasing, to kind of praying throughout the day. It may not be quite as efficient, but it helps kind of keep us connected and continue to help recharge us. And so the harder we use the phone, the more we need it. But this is designed basically to need a daily recharge. And I want to suggest to you in the Lord's Prayer, it says, give us this day our daily bread. Maybe we could reword that. Give us this day our daily recharge. And so we're kind of wired by God to need a daily time just to connect with him and kind of disconnect from everything else in order to recharge and be ready for the day that is before us. You probably realize there's different ways to recharge, and some are more efficient than others. I brought my little cord here. And, whoops. So this end, as you know, you can plug into a thing like this and plug into the wall. Some of you have car things that now go straight into that. Maybe a adapter for a cigarette lighter. You can plug this into your computer. I've noticed the computer and the cigarette lighter is kind of a slow charge. Not nearly as fast as, you know, plugging it into here. But they all will recharge. One of the things that I've noticed also is that sometimes to get the most efficient charge, you really should use the manufacturer's cord, which this I don't think is, because it would be the same color as this. My tablet that I have up here for my notes, a while back I had it plugged in to recharge, and I just found any old thing I had in my, you know, and plugged it in and went to check a while later, and it like had hardly like maybe 1 or 2% after being in for a long time. And I'm like, what's up with that? And then a message popped up. I don't remember the exact wording, but it said something like, there are problems with the recharge, and it's probably because you're not using the manufacturer's cord. Find the right cord and use it. So I looked around, found the right one, plugged it in, and then it started working much better. Now, I have an old Galaxy 5 that's, you know, still functioning, and it has this weird kind of deal on the bottom. Maybe some of you have that, where it's actually got two things that go in instead of one. The bigger one on the right there, or on the left on the phone because it's upside down, it's the same as the standard cord. So if I don't have the manufacturer's one and I just have the standard one, it will work. But here's what I've noticed. It charges way slower if I don't have this one with the double prong. But when I plug the one with the double prong in, I am amazed how much faster that it recharges. And the reason I take time to bring all that up is because sometimes we try recharging life in a way other than the ways the manufacturer recommended. God created us with certain ways that we can recharge, and sometimes we don't follow his ways and we try our own ways and it just doesn't work as well. The other thing that I want to mention, and you've probably experienced this, is if you keep using your phone while recharging it, it will recharge, but it takes longer. Now, if you quit using it and just plug it in, it's going to charge faster than if you're using it. But there's a way to even get it to charge faster. What's that? Turn the thing off. I mean, don't even keep it on. Turn it completely off, and that will charge the fastest. Now, why do I say all that? Because if you want to recharge the fastest, sometimes you just need to turn everything else off in your life. If you want to recharge the fastest, sometimes you just got to stop using, stop doing, stop whatever you're doing, and just focus, and you'll have the fastest recharge. Well, a second thing about smartphones that I want to bring out is that they need a good signal to work efficiently. You can have, you know, $1,000 or $1,200 smartphone, but if you are too far away from the sending signal, you might have some of the inner programming that will work, but you're not going to be able to make a call, text, access the internet, whatever it is you do. No matter how wonderful or expensive your phone is, if you're too far from a signal, it's not happening. You will not be very efficient at doing what you want to do. There's another factor, and that is not only being close enough to the signal, but your phone has to have a receiver that works reasonably well at getting the signal. By the way, this is only an Android, and my inexpensive laptop is only an Android. And I bring that up for a reason, and that is at our house, if Becky and I are sitting in the living room, and if I'm on my cheap laptop that's Android, and she's on her iPad, what happens sometimes, and I joke with her a little bit about it, is that I get a good signal and she doesn't. And she blames it on the internet. We have a poor wireless internet signal. And I say, well, then why is mine working just fine? Why is my cheap Android working just fine and your more expensive Apple isn't? I don't really say it that way. Well, I don't think I do, but anyway, my point is it's the same signal, and one receiver is picking it up and processing and working just fine. For whatever reason, the other signal, even though it's being sent, the receiver isn't quite able to process that. So what I'm saying in all of that is this: if you and I are going to function the way God intended us to function, we've got to stay close enough to the signal. God sends signals of how to walk out your everyday life, and we only function best when we're connected with his signals that he and the Holy Spirit send. But if we stray too far in our lives from that signal, we're not going to be processing and receiving all that he has to make us fruitful. But we can be close to the signal, and something can be wrong with our receiver. Sometimes our receiver is jammed up. Sometimes, maybe crossing metaphors, but sometimes somehow the IP address gets changed, and we're like, well, how did that happen? Sometimes we're tuned into the wrong signal, and so we're not really getting the signal that God sends. So how's your God connection? Are you close? Is your receiver sensitive? Thirdly, at times they need to be rebooted. I don't get all this stuff. Many of you know a lot more about it than I do, but I'm actually surprised that on my phone, I will get a signal actually once a week, typically, and it will say this. It'll say something like, it's been 7 days since you last restarted your phone. Please restart. Please reboot. And, oh, wow, it's been running 7 days straight. Okay, I'll reboot it. Well, what happens is sometimes this thing gets cluttered up. There's too many, maybe, programs open. Maybe there's viruses, bugs, cookies. I mean, I don't get all that stuff. But sometimes from heavy use and not resetting, sometimes it's just not a very... maybe technical term, but sometimes there's just too much clutter in this thing. And when you reset it, it kind of just, you know, gets rid of, closes down all the programs and maybe gets rid of some of that clutter. And then when it restarts, it's kind of fresh again and like working better again. And I want to suggest to you that God created us with that weekly need to reset. That's why we're here today. We are here today so that we can reset again for another week. We've all, in our interactions with the world, we've all kind of picked up some clutter in our lives, and we've gotten distracted and had this experience and that experience, and we probably don't come in functioning at 100%, and we're probably not 100% recharged, so we come in just to do a reset, just to kind of set aside the rest of the week and come and say, okay, God, I'm going to worship with my brothers and sisters. I'm going to get a reset. I'm going to clear away some of the clutter so I'm ready to operate efficiently for the coming week. Now, if you don't reset this thing, eventually you will deal with the consequences of that. Eventually, it's just not going to work like you want. And life is the same way. If we think I'm too busy to come together with my brothers and sisters and get a reset, we'll find out life will bog down and we will keep being efficient. The last one on this is that at times, they actually need to be reset. In other words, sometimes it's not just turn it off, turn it on again. Often that works. But sometimes the clutter's more serious. Sometimes you picked up stuff that just turning it on and off is not going to fix. Sometimes it's like there is something seriously wrong with this thing. And whether it's your phone or tablet or laptop, sometimes you've got to do a reset where you have it restore to the manufacturer's specifications. Now, there's some risk in that. Because when you do that restore, you might lose some programming. You might lose some files. But you get to a place where you decide, I've got to be willing to lose some stuff to take that risk, or this thing just isn't going to work right. And I want to suggest to you that there are times in our life where we need a factory reset. There are times in our life where we don't need just another Sunday service, as important as I think that is, but there are times we need something deeper than that, something more extended. We need a factory reset. The Old Testament called it a holy convocation, Exodus 12, Leviticus 23, Numbers 28 and 29. I'm not going to read any of that. But these were not like weekly or daily things. They were not even monthly things. But periodically, they had a scheduled holy convocation a few times a year, connected usually with their feast. Again, we're not going to get into that. But here's basically what it was. It was only periodic. It was something scheduled. And it was so that they could disconnect from everything else. In fact, it said a number of times, if you look up those passages, don't do any work, don't do any work. So it was a time to disconnect from the normal schedule so that they could worship and seek God and sort of get their life back in sync, back recalibrated to the manufacturer's specs. Because sometimes you and I get some bad programming we've picked up. Sometimes we're just not in sync with God and his ways. And what I'm suggesting is from time to time, what if you spent some extended time in prayer beyond what your normal daily or weekly prayer time is? What if you just said, I just need a little extra. Maybe a little extra fasting as well. Extra times just in the presence of the Lord. Now, to do that, it might cost you something. Maybe you have to take a day or two of vacation. Maybe you have to kind of clear out your schedule that's so full and just say, okay, God, I just need a bit of a reset here to get my life back in sync with you and with your ways. Well, okay, let's move on. And in the next part of the message, and kind of from here to the end, I'm going to be talking about something that will be new to some of you, not to all of you, but it'll be new to some of you. And as a result, it may seem strange, maybe something you've never really heard before. And because of that, it may make you even feel a little bit uncomfortable. But it's in the Bible, okay? So what I'm asking you to do is just give me some grace here in the next few minutes. And if what I'm talking about is strange to you, it's not something you're familiar with, realize that if it's in the Bible, it must be there for our benefit. Must be something there that I'm to apply to my life. And so that's what we're going to talk about in the next few minutes. And specifically, what I want to talk to you about is praying in the Spirit as being one of the most efficient ways to recharge your soul and spirit. Remember, we said there's more efficient and less efficient ways to recharge. And one of, not the only, but one of the most efficient ways to recharge your soul and spirit is praying in the Spirit. Now, you may be familiar with that, you may not be, but what we're actually talking about is praying in tongues. Now, I'll define what tongues is in a moment. You might say, well, I've never done that, that's all right. But notice what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 14 and 15. He said, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, And I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Two things I want to point out here. First of all, notice that Paul equated praying in a tongue with praying with the spirit. He made them synonymous. He first talked about praying in a tongue and then said, what is the conclusion? And he said, I will pray with the spirit. So in other words, praying in a tongue is the same as praying with the Spirit. Second thing I want you to notice is this was a choice Paul made. Notice three or four times there he said, I will do this. In other words, this wasn't forced on him, but this was something he chose to do. He could choose it. It wasn't just either God would do it or not. He realized he had a lot to do with whether or not it happened. He chose as an act of obedience, as an act of his will and his faith, I will do this. I'm going to choose to do it, and you can choose the same thing as well. So what is praying in tongues? Praying in tongues is praying in a language you've never learned and you've never studied. You might say, well, then how could I pray in it if I've never learned it or studied it? You're able to pray in tongues by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And you might say, well, why would I want to pray in a language I don't know if I don't know what I'm praying? And that's a very good question that we'll answer in just a moment. But the next thing I want to highlight to you is that praying in tongues is available to every believer. Some think, well, yeah, that's for some really spiritual people or people who are, you know, called to this or that or whatever. But I want you to realize that tongues is available to every believer, whether we receive it or not. It's available to everybody, just like salvation is available to everybody, whether they receive it or not. And I want to give you a couple of scriptures regarding that. Acts 2:4 says, and they were all... Notice the word all. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what was the evidence of that? They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Notice that all. There was 120 and they were all filled. In other words, God didn't just say, I'm going to give this person that. Not, you don't get it. You get it. You don't get it. All 120 got it. Acts 10:44-46, while Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. The gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. How did they know? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. What is so unique about this passage is this was the first time Gentiles got saved. And not only that, but nobody prayed for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Nobody laid hands on them. In fact, they hadn't even been baptized in water yet. What actually happened is while Paul was speaking, they responded to what Peter was preaching in faith. And right while he was preaching, they got saved. And God filled them with the Holy Spirit at basically the same time so that they get saved and start speaking in tongues again before they had any class, any teaching, any water baptism, any discipleship. And how many of them got filled? All of them. Again, God didn't only give it to some. And they were brand new believers. They didn't have any, you know, time to grow or anything like that. And then a third example, Acts 19, verses 6 and 7, it says, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. So this was a group of 12 men from Ephesus that Paul was talking to. He prayed for them. All of them spoke in tongues. Let me just say this. We have no examples in the Bible ever of only some people getting and other people not. In all examples where more than one person is receiving the gift, they all get it. Never, only some. So it's available to all. Now, not everybody is going to have the gift to speak in tongues in a corporate worship service where somebody else interprets it. Not everybody will have that gift, but everybody can receive tongues for their own personal edification. Now, I want to look at three unfounded concerns. Well, Paul said, I wish you all spoke with tongues. I don't think he would have said that if it was not God's will for us too. So here are three unfounded concerns that some have regarding speaking in tongues. Some think, well, I'm not very spiritual. I mean, I don't know very many Bible verses. I don't know the Bible very well. I've got this problem, that problem. I'm not all that holy. And so I don't think I'm spiritual enough to be able to have tongues. Well, let me just say it this way. God does not give tongues to people because they are spiritual. He gives tongues to people to help them become more spiritual, okay? So tongues is not a badge that you get for being good. It's something God gives you to help you in your journey, okay? So it's not about we're good enough to get. God gives it to help us. A second concern people have is, you know, well, what if I'm at Walmart or something and all of a sudden tongues just comes out of me? I'm going to be so embarrassed. I don't want that. Well, that is not going to happen. Notice what Paul said. He said, I will pray in the Spirit. In other words, he didn't say, whenever the Spirit takes over, it will take over. No, he said, I choose to. And I choose to pray in, you know, Greek or whatever, Hebrew, for us, English, or, you know, whatever your other languages are. The point is, I'll just use myself as an example. I can pray in tongues anytime I want. I can pray in tongues as loud or quiet as I want. I can start when I want. I can stop when I want. The only thing I can't control is what will the content be. But everything else is under my control. So no, it's just not going to happen. The Bible says the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. You do not have to worry about that. Let me just use another example. Okay, I have another gift, a teaching gift. Do I have to worry that in the middle of Walmart, suddenly my teaching gift is going to just flow out of me and I'm going to find myself teaching in the middle of the aisle? No, I would decide when I'm going to release that gift. I have no control over whether I got that gift or not, but what I do with it, I have control over. So just like whatever gift you have, you choose whether you're going to use that gift or not. It's not just suddenly forced out of you. So you don't have to be concerned about that. And by the way, notice the direction in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians verse 27. Paul basically said, you know, when it comes to a corporate worship, it's good to have a message in tongues and an interpretation occasionally. But I would say, Paul's writing, he'd say, you know, two or three would be sufficient. Let's not go beyond that because there's other important things that need to happen. Now, that verse would make no sense if we had no control over it. What if you're number four? You're number four, and there's already been three in the service. What's Paul saying? Paul's saying, if you're number four, hold it. If you're number four, no, it's not the timing. Doesn't mean you didn't have something significant. It's just there's other things that need to happen. It's okay. Just hold it back, which implies we can. Otherwise, there would be no reason to put that verse up there if we had no control over it. All right, here's the third fear some have. Well, what if I get a counterfeit? You know, what if I get something demonic or whatever? But that's nothing we should be concerned about. Luke 11:11 says, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he gives him an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? In other words, a good parent that's imperfect doesn't want to give his children something that's going to be harmful for them. We want to only give them things that are going to be beneficial for them. And it says, if you then, being evil or imperfect, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So God's a good father. And if you're sincerely asking him for the Holy Spirit, for the ability to speak in tongues, he's not going to allow you to get something weird, something that will be harmful for you. All right, what I want to do in the last part of the message, and I'm going to move real fast in this part, I want to touch on seven benefits of praying in tongues. And if you're thinking, this isn't me, I don't do this, I want you to say, well, wait a minute, what if I did do this? If God put it in the Bible, it must be something that would help me. So even though maybe normally I wouldn't pursue this kind of thing, what if I did? So give me that for the next 15 minutes and just picture yourself benefiting in these ways. And there's more than seven. I'm just touching on seven. Paul said, again, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Paul must have thought, this is really beneficial. I'm so thankful, he's saying, that I speak in tongues a lot, probably more than anybody else. Again, he says, I wish you all spoke with tongues. So he saw it as very beneficial. So here's seven benefits. Number one, and this is how kind of I started the message, you recharge your soul and spirit. So think of it this way. While I'm speaking in tongues, I am sort of, it's a wireless connection. I have a wireless connection to God, and I'm recharging my soul and spirit. So whether I understand it or not, it doesn't matter. The important thing is I'm recharging my soul and spirit. In 1 Corinthians 14:4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. In other words, he who speaks in a tongue recharges himself, recharges his soul and spirit. Jude 1:20 says it this way, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So we build up our faith, we recharge when we're praying in tongues. So that's very practical. So we can plug in and recharge. Secondly, you give thanks well. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know, I find that I fail at walking that verse out too often. Sometimes I realize, wait a minute, I'm kind of in a negative attitude right now, or I'm looking at things pessimistically, or I'm bothered by this or that. And so I need that reminder that in everything, you know, I'm to give thanks. So something I'm continuing to work on. But here's an interesting verse, two verses, 1 Corinthians 14:16 and 17. It says, if you bless with the Spirit, you indeed give thanks well. So while I'm praying in tongues, even though I don't know exactly what I'm saying, some of that is going to be giving God thanks. God's going to get thanks to himself through the Holy Spirit praying through you and I, so we can know that we are giving God thanks. By the way, the Bible says in Psalms 100 verse 4 that we enter his gates with thanksgiving. So if I enter his gates with thanksgiving, and if while I'm praying in the Spirit, I'm giving thanks well, that would imply that when we're praying in the Spirit, we are entering into God's presence. Number three, and this is really powerful, you will pray the will of God into existence. You will pray the will of God into existence. Sometimes we all struggle with, what's the will of God? Or, boy, I want this to happen. Well, it says in Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. So we all have weaknesses. The Holy Spirit's there to want to help us. He says, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Sometimes you and I are praying and we're like, I don't know what to pray. I don't know how to pray. Or I really need God to do this, but I don't know the right way to go about it. But it goes on to say, the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I'm not suggesting this only as a reference to tongues, but when we're praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit knows the will of God. Certainly the Holy Spirit isn't going to pray something through you that's contrary to the will of God. So the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God, so we can know that whenever I'm praying in tongues, even if I don't know what I'm praying, one thing I know, I'm praying the will of God. So if I'm struggling with not knowing the will of God, to me that's very encouraging, knowing I am praying the will of God into existence. And the Bible says that we have confidence that when we pray according to the will of God, he hears us and answers us. So when I'm praying in the Spirit, I can know I'm praying the will of God, and when you pray the will of God, those prayers are powerful. Number four, you speak the mysteries of God into your life and into your realm of influence. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. So when you and I are praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, we are literally declaring the mysteries of God into our life and into our realm of influence. And of course, God may be using you to pray for something halfway around the world that you're not even aware of. But as we declare the mysteries of God, a couple things happen. I think at some point, those mysteries are manifest in our life. And also at some point, God gives us understanding of those mysteries. Number five, You bypass the intellect. 1 Corinthians 14:14, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. And some of you might be thinking, well, that's the reason I don't know if I want to pray in tongues. Bypass my intellect. Is that like a good thing? Well, there's nothing wrong with praying with our intellect, because remember, Paul said the conclusion is, I will pray with my spirit and I will pray with my understanding or my intellect. In other words, he says there's a place for both. But here's what I've discovered. Sometimes my intellect gets in the way when I pray. Sometimes I have limited perspective. Sometimes I don't feel like I have a lot of faith. Sometimes I may be distracted. Sometimes, you know, whatever, that my intellect may just not be in sync with the mind of Christ. And so sometimes there's a benefit to say, you know, I'm just going to turn the intellect off for a moment and just pray in a way that bypasses the intellect. And so there can be great advantage to that. In fact, when the Bible says pray without ceasing, I think that praying in tongues is one of the best ways to do that, because most of us, if we were to literally just pray nonstop, most of us would run out of things to say, you know, after a while. But when you're praying in tongues, you never run out of things to say. So we are bypassing the intellect, which is at times beneficial. But here's the other benefit to bypassing the intellect, and that is, and this goes back to pray without ceasing, if you're doing things that don't require a lot of mental focus, you can pray in tongues while doing those things. I pray in tongues a lot while I'm in the car driving, maybe while jogging, unless I'm going fast, and then I can't, you know, hardly breathe well enough to pray in tongues. But on a deer stand, walking through the store, I mean, I don't do it loudly if I'm, you know, in a public place where anybody hears me. But I try to pray in tongues a lot just going throughout my day. And the reason we can do that is because my understanding is unfruitful. In other words, I don't need to focus. I've been trying to do this enough that often I just find myself, you know, kind of automatically doing it and not even like thinking about it a whole lot. And so it's one of the benefits. It's sort of your slow charge, you know, where you're doing other things, but yet there's still some charging of your spirit that goes on. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11 and verse 14, it says, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So sometimes our natural mind can get in the way, but as we pray in tongues, we awaken our spiritual discernment. Number six, the Holy Spirit will show you the things God has prepared for you. 1 Corinthians 2, beginning at verse 9, but as it is written, this is a quote from Isaiah 64, 4, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. In other words, our human mind often does not get how much God has for us. But notice the next verse. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. So the Holy Spirit takes the things of God that are for us and reveals them to us. And so when we're praying in tongues, we are fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. We are learning to be tuned in to the frequency of the Spirit. And God wants to show you and I things that are for us that we don't even know are there. And if we don't know they're there, it's hard to appropriate them. And then the last one is that, and a lot of these overlap, but the last one is the Holy Spirit will show you truth and things to come. He will show you truth and things to come. Jesus said, John 16, beginning at verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. So the Holy Spirit wants to reveal truth to us, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he speaks. Catch this. And he will tell you things to come. There's certain things that, you know, if God would show us, it would help us in life. If we just kind of knew some of what's coming. Now, he's not going to tell you everything. He wants you to walk by faith. But the Holy Spirit wants to tell you enough of what's to come that you can know and be adequately prepared. All right, well, we're going to close. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. And maybe you came in today feeling good spiritually. Maybe you came in and your spirit man was already pretty charged up. But I would assume there's a few of you, you came in and if you could put a number on it, it's below half. It's you need a little recharge. Well, what I want to encourage you to do is know that speaking in tongues, again, it's not the only way to recharge, but it's one very, very beneficial way. It's very practical. And I want to encourage you to take advantage of that. Some of you might say, you know, but I don't speak in tongues. Well, you can. You can. It's as much yours as it is anybody else's. And you can just, even as we end in prayer today, you can just say, okay, God, the Holy Spirit's already in me. I receive that gift, and you can begin to speak in tongues. Here's what I'm going to ask for in closing is that in Acts 2, verse 4, there were 120 believers, and that may be how many are in this room, I don't know. There was 120 believers all in one accord, in one place, and they were praying for the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and that's when the Holy Spirit fell on them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. But they were there in unity. They were there seeking together. And in our close, we're just going to take a few minutes in closing and pray for that. So if you're willing to be a part of that, and no pressure on anybody, but if you're willing to come and just stand in front with a few others, I want you to just invite you to come if you're willing to say, God, I want more. I'll take some more recharge. I'll pray for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. If you're willing to do that, just come. Just step out. As you come, it'll make it easier for someone else to come. And for all who are willing, we're just going to take a few moments and just together pray for a fresh recharge, a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit on our own lives and on our church family as well. Whether you've ever spoken in tongues or not, you're welcome to come up. Hallelujah. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to pray for the Holy Spirit to come in a fresh way. And for those of you who pray in tongues, I'm going to ask you just to start doing that. You can do it, you know, out loud. You don't have to do it, you know, super loud or anything. But I want to encourage you to do that. If you've never spoken in tongues before, I want to encourage you, you can just step out and join with the rest. It's that simple. Father, we've seen from your word today that you want to use tongues as a way to recharge our spirit. And Lord, we realize that sometimes in life we get drained. Sometimes we pick up some clutter from the world. And Lord, we just need that regular time to recharge and get rid of some of the clutter and get realigned with you and get refreshed so that we can go about our week ready to serve, ready to do what is before us. And so I'm praying right now, even in the closing moments of this service, I'm praying for a fresh recharge for everybody here, a fresh recharge, a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, God, that the same Holy Spirit that was poured out in Acts 2:4 is the same Holy Spirit here today, the same Holy Spirit in us, the same Spirit they got, it's the same Spirit we got. I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, as a church, I'm praying that you will give us a fresh Pentecost, a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Lord, there are some here who've never spoken in tongues. I pray right now that you will fill them with the Holy Spirit. Right now, God, that you will release that gift to them and that it will just flow out of them to build them up, to build them up. Okay, let's just go ahead and go after it for a few moments. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ubrandaba shikorobosa talamashika. Oh, refresh us, Lord. Ikoramande debaso korobobobo shaka. Fill us to overflowing, oh God. Recharge our spirit and our soul, oh God. Clear away the clutter, oh God. Refocus us, Lord. O prande basson de le kababoshi karababosa tabashika. Give us a new freedom in our tongue, Lord. A new freedom, God, that wherever we are, Lord, we're able to plug in and recharge. God, fill us afresh. Fill us afresh. O ramashakurabosa talamama karabola da kashika. O ramonda lalada bashikiridididiaka. Oh, I thank you, Holy Spirit. You want to show us things to come. Oh, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you want to pray the will of God into our lives through praying in the Spirit. Oh, I thank you for that. I thank you for that. More of your work, Holy Spirit. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just keep pressing in a little bit more. Oh, ramasondo rabakashi kerede basata le koramomomonda rabakashi kerede babashakala mosata bahate. Thank you, Lord. We're praying your will. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, la rabashaka. Oh, rabakah.